Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking about ways to have sex that aren't penetration because, heck, there's so many ways to get it on between the sheets. And I'm taking your calls. Topics include your long-distance love broke your confidence. How do you get it back? So you really want to peg your partner. How do you get him to pull the trigger? You've been cross-dressing for 20 years and your wife still doesn't know. How do you come clean about it? And you want to talk to women, but you have no idea what you're doing. I can help you. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com, where you can check out all of our blogs. You can also easily subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We so appreciate that. And you can find me on Sirius XM Radio. It stars Channel 109, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 East. You can also get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. And as always, you can find me on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily across the board. All right, guys, enjoy the show. I want to talk about mutual masturbation.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing. Mutual masturbation is one of my favorite tips for couples because it's kind of like a twofer. Because on the one hand, it can be really hot to like be lying next to your partner and you're watching, you're masturbating and they're masturbating, you're watching each other. You're like, you're getting the show, you're getting the visual titillation. But it's also like super educational experience in the sense of you're learning like, oh, like I remember doing it for the first time and I had a boyfriend. I'm like, oh, I didn't know you put your hand over your balls or like your hand goes up and over the penis and all the way back down. Like his tip was very important to him. Like I learned lessons that way. And I think all of you, you know, it's a great thing to do. Especially if you don't want, you don't have to rush into penetration. Sometimes, first of all, it's also a sure thing. You know you're going to get yourself off. And I think also people have said to me that they didn't get it. I've talked about mutual masturbation. People are like, well, how do you do it?
Well, because I think what the question that people have like asked the most is like, how would you not just start going into touching each other?
Yeah, you make a decision. I don't know. Who cares? It's not like you lose. You could go into having each other. But how hot is it to say, you know what? We're not going to go right into sex. We're not going to do the same thing we always do. That's what this month is about. It's about not doing the same thing in the same pattern in the same way that you always do. If you always masturbate by yourself, maybe do it with your partner. Like this is what this is about. If you guys even did one thing this month, I'd be so happy that was different. So we're going to give you a lot of different tips.
Yeah.
But mutual masturbation is fun.
I used to be that person. It's like, you just start touching each other. But then when I finally did it, I was like, oh my God. It's like one of my, yeah. It's like one of my favorite things to do now, though.
Yeah. Why do you love it, Jane?
One, because it's the sure thing.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about it. I don't care who finishes first, who finishes last. If he finishes at all, I'm finishing. I know that for sure.
Right.
And then it is just really hot to see someone turn themselves on, and then even hotter that they're getting so turned on by watching you turn yourself on. It's like everyone's getting turned on in all these different ways.
Yeah.
And it's just hotness all over the place. Yeah. It's really fun.
Especially, yeah.
I masturbate with my eyes closed, so this would be a challenge for me.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Last night, Karen Lee, who's on the show, was like,
Karen Lee
can't orgasm with her eyes open. I think it's like super powerful when your eyes are open. I did this morning. I had to put it to the test.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm just looking at the ceiling. It's not that hot, like, to just look at what's above me.
I'm just saying, but like, keep your eyes closed. Like, I'm just saying, she said she couldn't orgasm with her eyes open, like a sneeze, you know?
Yeah, she could with her eyes open, but yeah, I think. And then did you realize that you normally close them, but you tried to keep them open this morning?
I was trying to think, because I feel like I keep
mine open.
I keep mine open too.
Yeah, what if they're, you know, watching for perpetrators or, no, I don't know. I don't know, like, keep your eyes open. I don't know why.
That's the exact moment that someone's going to bust into your house and rob you, is when you close your eyes for a second.
I don't know why, but I do not close my eyes.
The perpetrators are coming.
You never know when someone's going to walk in your masturbation sesh.
You know what I just thought of?
That's hilarious.
A way to practice is going to be looking at myself in the mirror when I masturbate.
Never
tried that.
Yeah, that's going to be a great one.
That could be a good step towards.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mutually masturbating.
Yeah, it's really hot, you guys. That is a great one. Look in the mirror this month if you've never looked
down. You're fucking helping me out so good.
Good girl.
Thank you.
That's why we're here.
Thank you.
I love it. Looking in the mirror. It's a great one. Okay, here's another thing, you guys. Sex without penetration. I'm going to go into a few more of this a little bit. Dry humping. I believe that dry humping is a lost art. Oh my God, it says it's a lost art. And I didn't even see it said lost art. There's a list here. I'm like, it is a lost art. Remember when that was hot and you were in high school and you couldn't have sex yet?
Yes.
You were rubbing against their jeans on the couch of their parents' living room or something, or in the car, and all the friction, and you're like heating up, but you can't have it, but you want it, but you can't. And like, that's really freaking hot to do. That's kind of masturbation as well. These are all things you could do this month. And this does not include, these are all the things that don't include a little bit of penetration. And what I got to say, what's really hot for this, is the Hot Octopus Pulse 3 Duo. If you don't have one for your penis, you might want one. It's a really cool toy that wraps around your penis. It oscillates on the frenulum, which is the super sexy, sensitive part of your penis. And then it has a vibrator on the outside so your partner can literally, it's made for dry humping.
Yeah.
It's a toy made for dry humping.
I really want to try it with someone.
I got excited. And rub on it. Me too.
I think the dry humping just tied in with innocence, because now it's like you can go for oral.
Well, that's the thing. All the innocence, you go right to oral, or you go right for sex, and you skip the boobs, and you skip the kissing, and everything. I think we all want to harken back to those earlier days when you really let that tension and the excitement build, and like, are we going to sleep together? Are we not? What's this going to feel like? And you're just, So you can bring that back. And you can also use a vibrator.
Just in general,
use a vibrator if you haven't yet, without penetration. We love some lube. You should always add a little bit of lube into the mix. I mean, just, vibrator. No penetration needed. The other thing about mutual masturbation, going back, if you use a vibrator and you've been like, a lot of women email or call in and ask, how do I use with my partner? Maybe it'd be hot to do it during mutual masturbation. That's a great first time.
Oh, yeah, because then they can see how you hold it.
Yeah, like in your fearful place where you're so afraid maybe that your partner's going to freak out, and they see it's like this vibrating little egg in your hand or whatever it is. That's really hot. Like, that's what happened to me. My boyfriend was like, when I first did that, he was like, that's so hot. Like, he was just like, wow. And now that I remember back to my...
That's so smart. Because
I think there's fear. Like, oh, no, vibrators, it's going to replace me. I'm like, it doesn't look like you. It's a little tiny bullet. Your penis is a tiny bullet, which is not.
Right, you can't take a Christmas card
this
with your vibrator.
Little tiny vibrator thing's good. Right. You can't take a Christmas card to go to the farmer's market with your vibrator. Not yet. That's the robot. Nipple play. Mm-hmm. Robots can go to the farmer's market. I don't want a robot, though. These are ways, nipple play. I mean, yes, suck them, lick them, blow on them, blow on your partner's nipples. These are great things to do without penetration. Nipplegasms, very common.
Lube on the nipples.
Lube on the nipples. Nipple clamps. We are fans.
Oh, I've still, you know what? I've yet to try that.
You have a chock full.
I know. I don't know why I have never taken a trip down nipple clamp lane.
Right? Do it. Do it this weekend, all of you.
I definitely feels will. Good.
I'm just saying, don't knock until you try it. Maybe your partner could just pinch them until it doesn't, you know, like start softly and see how it feels. Julie, what? You don't want
to
pinch?
Watching you pretend to pinch your
baby. Yeah, wait till we get cameras in here. Like, because I do it. I'm showing people. I'm pinching mine. Ew, that feels good, actually.
I'm like, that's oh, how I like it.
What do you
like
think about, okay, because we had that.
I like to pinch my own nipples.
What do you think about through the fabric?
I'm learning that in the moment. Through the fabric feels so good. Yes, you guys, putting fabric over your nipples, over your clitoris. Over anywhere, you guys, like using some soft fabric, using your sheets in your house, using, you know, a silk shirt, a top, anything over your nipples, and then like using a vibrator over that can feel really good. Yeah. For a lot of women, they orgasm that way. Like they actually, I remember for me, actually one of my first orgasms or one first time I was most aroused in high school with my high school boyfriend, I remember him rubbing over like my pink satin underwear with his like fingers. I was like, oh, like the material feels great. So don't forget that stuff. And what else we got here? Sensory play is awesome too, you guys, without penetration. Like adding a blindfold. Wax candle, playing with some massage oil. You guys, even just a blindfold is something different and you don't need to have any penetration. Blindfold, you do a blindfold and then you take away one sense, all the other senses become more heightened. And you can play music. And this is what I love about this because sensory play means that you're truly engaging all the senses. So even if you take one away, but then you have music playing, maybe using a warm candle, some cool ice cubes by the bed.
I love ice
cubes.
Eating,
you could be like feeding you chocolate. Mm. Oh, that's a hot experience.
Ooh, okay. What if? I think this, actually, you know, this is coming from a one of your tips when we did those Valentine's Day videos.
Yes.
Last year. Mm-hmm. You blindfold your partner and you feed them like, you know, like strawberries or chocolates or random things, but then you randomly, you know, slip in a body part.
That's what I was like, slip a tit in?
Yeah.
Did I say that last year? Mm-hmm. See this? You understand. I say a lot of things. Yeah, that's a great idea. Slipping about. Oh, my God. And you've got that already. You've got ice cubes in your fridge. What else? You got a little massage and then you slip in a nipple.
Slip in a nipple.
Oh, gosh. That's another definition. That's another way to get the nip slip that you want.
Just dip or whatever. It in the mouth.
Dip, put your.
A nip dip.
Whatever in there. Yeah.
You could put chocolate sauce on your nipple.
Ooh. You girl, could, and then slip it in. Up.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't have any person to take this to right now. You're stressing me out.
Oh, you are taking notes.
No, I have to take this out on.
No, I know.
Oh. You're like, but I am taking notes.
But take notes so you remember next time. And yes. I'm like, oh, but you are.
Yeah, I literally am right now.
I wish I had my notes next to me. Like, I want to remember this now.
You will.
Sometimes I don't remember until they remind me. This is what I'm saying. We are a teacher and student. You're constantly learning, teaching, learning, teaching. It's a cycle of life. And it's quite beautiful. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, on to your calls.
All right, we have Taylor, who's 25 in Ohio, who's got a few questions about pegging.
Hey, Taylor, what's going on? Let me help you.
I want to know how I can try and get my boyfriend comfortable with pegging, because I know it's something he wants to try, but he won't say it.
How do you know he wants to try
and
it?
And also,
won't
say I don't mean he'll sometimes say it, like when we get really deep into the moment, and if I'm like playing with his prostate, he'll say that he'd let me do that. But whenever I bring it up after sex or outside of those moments, he's like, "Oh no, I would never do that."
Interesting. Are you guys like drinking? Or are you?
No.
Okay, I'm just wondering if it's like an altered state. That's interesting. Does he really say no? Okay.
He's just like, he like backs off of it. I think he's like embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
And like, he just gets caught up in the moment.
Well, maybe start with like a butt plug and not pegging per se.
Mm.
Mm. No, you want to peg him? Are you more interested? Like, what about you? I would never recommend.
I have definitely told him that I've been interested.
Right. Why don't we get him a prostate toy? And then you could put that inside and see how he feels about that. Like, don't go straight into the pegging if he's not there. But he likes the... Sorry, babe, you're going to have to take in baby steps. So I think if you got him, like, a butt plug or a prostate toy, like a Neros or the Black Pearl, we've got a bunch on our website, and you could kind of, like, get him that. Or even a butt plug might even be less threatening. And then, you know, you're using it on him, so you're still controlling it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sound satisfied. And get lots of lube.
I can wait.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I mean, pegging, I get it. Like, and what is it about pegging that is so hot for you? Is there another way to get that need met in the bedroom with something else?
I think it's like a power thing.
Yeah, no, it definitely is a power thing. But I'm wondering, even holding the toy or the, you know, the plug or whatever it is, you could still be in that power position. You know, just practice with that. All right.
Okay.
You can also check out our website. We do have some pegging posts that we can put in the show notes. Thanks for calling. You're not going to get your partner. You can't. Every question that starts with "How do I get my partner to blank?" is not. I can't typically answer that in the way of like, well, first you got to do this, then you got to send him flowers. Then you, no, it's not like that. Like, with an, especially when it comes to sex, it's like you have to meet them where they're at. And maybe like show them some other ways to think about things. Like, you already know he's interested. So don't force, like, I'm going to, you know, peg, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do something that's extreme. Or like people say, how do I get my partner out of a threesome? Well, you're not, but you could have a conversation about what your fantasies are first. And maybe your partner will say, oh, I've actually fantasized about a threesome. Well, there you go. That's an easy one. Or maybe they say, yeah, no, my fantasy is, I kind of have a fantasy about being with other women, but I don't know if I ever would, you know? And then you wouldn't start with, well, let's have a threesome. But then you have more information. Mm-hmm. You guys have to remember that in every sexual relationship you're in, that these sex conversations happen all the time. Like, they should happen frequently. Like, where you talk about where you're going for dinner. Like, where you're going for vacation this summer. Like, it's like you build on it. You don't just, like, come out with, like, I'm going to peg you. And for people who don't know what pegging is, because whenever we say mm-hmm. it,
People always text you.
All my friends are like, what's pegging? I'm like, okay. Pegging is when a man is penetrated, typically by a female partner, with something they call a strap-on. And she's wearing a strap around her waist, and it's like a dildo. And so essentially she's penetrating him with that in his anus.
And we say a lot of things in the moment that we don't necessarily want to happen. Right. Like, right. The things you fantasize about when you masturbate, not always something you actually want to happen to you.
True. There's two kinds of fantasies. The ones
Wasn't
that you...
Wasn't Kirsten talking about that the other day?
Yeah. That's the fantasies that she actually wants to have?
Or the ones that she was like, thinks about when she masturbates, when she's like, no, oh, I would not want that to happen to me.
Right, right. Absolutely. You guys, don't go off on those things. Definitely the fantasy that you don't want to live out. But also, wait, I just had a flash. He said to her... She has told him that this is an act that she wants to do with him. So mm-hmm. in the moment of sex, he's been like, I want that. So maybe he was saying it to please her.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So she's got to take that slow. Oh my God.
Sorry. That was just like, it's so true.
Right. I know. Once you guys hang up, you're still with me. But let's talk to Carlos.
Yes. Carlos, 34 in Texas, wants to talk about how he got ghosted in a long distance relationship.
Ooh, hey, Carlos. Tell me what's going on.
Hi. How are you, Emily? I'm doing good. And yourself?
Good. Tell me how I can help you.
Well, it's just kind of along the lines of what you guys were talking earlier. I was in a long-distance relationship. I went to go visit her. We had what I thought was really good sex. And then after I left, the next couple of days were really weird. And then she's like, I think we need a break. And that was the last time I heard from her.
Mm.
And... So now it's been a while, and I'm trying to, you know, get back on my feet. But like I have to admit, like, my confidence is kind of shot after that.
I totally understand. So that's what we're talking about, rejection and confidence. And so the confidence part comes from, you know, the reason why it's shot is because the fact that she ghosted you and you don't know why. What we often do when we don't know something, unfortunately, as humans, our brains make it about us. You did something wrong. You weren't good enough. You're not going to find someone. And that's where it all comes from. And really, we just know you didn't hear from her again. Maybe you can make up your own story.
Yeah.
Maybe she got back together with an ex. Maybe she realized she couldn't really get into something serious right now. Though, seriously, though, like, if you don't know, why not? Sometimes I think it's better to, like, because it doesn't really matter is it either the truth, right? Like, why she did or what happened. It's more like... Like, that was one relationship, and it was great for a while until it wasn't. How many months was it, you said? A few?
Yeah, it's been a few, and, like, I mean, and it's kind of weird because, before her, I mean, I've been kind of in relationships off and on, and I even had like a friends with benefit kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the last like serious, like romantic relationship I was, mm-hmm. it's weird because it kind of happened the same thing. Like the first time we finally made love, and then like the next day after, she's like, we can't talk anymore. And so it's, like, it's just, it was really tough this time around because I was like, oh, great, here we go again, you know?
Well, that happened to you once before years ago, you said?
Yeah, that happened years ago.
Okay, and
I said, after that, it was just kind of, yeah.
I mean, but that hasn't happened in every relationship. It happened years ago that after you had sex, right? So our brain...
Oh, no, yeah, and then like...
You've had relationships. So all I want to say is what's happening is that your brain goes to, our brain tries to make sense of things, not even at a conscious level. So here this woman ghosted you after having sex. So then your brain went to, do, how could I find evidence about, what does this mean? And then you found a time years ago, five, when someone else did the same thing. It doesn't mean you're bad in bed. It doesn't mean anything like that. Maybe you have to stuff to learn in bed. We all do. But it just means that those two things happen. And it does not mean that Carlos is in danger, you're a bad lover, that you're never going to find someone. So I think it's important for you to learn, to think about, like I was saying earlier, what can you learn from this relationship? Like, what did you really like about her? What wasn't so great? That's one thing that'll help you. And then also, building your confidence in other areas. I mean, do you feel like you're confident in every other area right now? You feel pretty solid, but this?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm an overall, grounded guy. It's just now it's when I'm trying to date now or trying to approach a girl, it's just like I get in my own head, you know, right. And it's just like, oh great, I don't want this to happen again,
right?
And so how I get to the point where it's like I'd rather not try, you know.
Yeah, I get it. How long have you been in the I don't want to try period?
Like I said, it's been, I kind of took like a month off, so now it's been a couple of months, like 2 months.
Okay.
And like I start talking to somebody and it's just like I push away myself and
I think you're in protective mode right now. So what I would say, Carlos, is take dating off the table and just go out and be social. Go out with your friends, say yes to every invitation that comes in, even the ones that you're like, I don't like those people, it'll be weird. That's how we meet people. But it's not just so you'll meet someone. I want you just to practice being out there, being Carlos, making new friends, maybe talking to someone you find attractive or find you're interested in. But I think just exercising those muscles and getting your confidence in little ways, even if it's not through the women, but it's just through connection, because we're kind of talking about the same thing. Because that's what happens when we meet someone. There's a connection, right? There's sparks. There's a connection. And I think the more we just connect in the universe and out in the world, the more likely you're going to connect. But if you're shut down now and inside, you know, it's like just getting yourself out, even if it's like a few more times a week than you are now. And then you'll start to realize that those thoughts and that your bad, all the negativity and the heart, you know, it still might be a little challenging. It doesn't solve everything right away, but that's going to get you out of your rut, just getting out there and then taking it off the table, being like, you know what, I'm not having a date right now purposely, but I am going to go out in the world and try to meet people. So your dating life is not over. You're not a bad person, Carlos. You didn't do anything wrong. And I would say also, it sounds like both of them were long distance, right?
Well, no, this was like my first ever long distance. The other one, we were like friends for a long time.
Right. And, okay.
Yeah, so it was just this one that was...
Got it. Okay. Well, I mean, Carlos, this is just, honestly, just take this time to like think about yourself, what you can learn from it, and do all the things that make you do feel confident now, like hanging out with friends and people you love, and taking care of yourself. And...
All right.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Carlos, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Thank you. It's not easy, you guys. Confidence is not like, but it is an inside job, self-esteem, confidence. But confidence begets confidence. Mm-hmm. So you do things like that. Like you go out to a party, right? And you meet, you have a really great night out, right? Like maybe you're going through a breakup. And you go out and you're like, you have fun. And it's not about, but maybe you're just with your closest friends or you're with your family. It makes you feel good. You go to your favorite movies. You just do things that are that same kind of make you feel like yourself again. And you know, it comes back. It does. But you've got to, you know, you always got to be working on it, nurturing it.
All right. We have Joe, who's 58 in Wisconsin, and he is a cross-dresser, and he wants to know if he should tell his wife about it.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling. Tell me what's going on.
Hi, Emily.
Hey. Okay. So how long have you guys been together? Tell me what's going on. Tell me, lay out the scene for me.
We've been together for 20 years.
Okay.
And I've been enjoying cross-dressing that whole time, but she has never found out.
Wow.
And, Yes. I'd like to share that with her and cross-dress with her, but I don't know if I should break the news to her.
Mm, okay, so how... I mean, here's the thing. Have you guys ever had any conversations about your sex life at all?
Not as far as the cross-dressing, no.
Right. But, like, in general, you know, you've been together for... Is she your age as well?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing about it. I want you to have that with her. I really do, after all these years and you guys have been together. But, like, I think you got to start... You got to kind of tread lightly. You don't want to say, hey, babe, I've been meaning to talk to you. BTW, I've been a cross-dresser for 20 years, you know? So it's more like... I mean, I absolutely think that you should. And I think here's the thing about it. It can be confusing, right? She might not have ever heard that a straight man who loves her has been cross-dressing, you know? So I think it's really more about opening up the conversation about your sex life in general, and that you'd like to kind of talk about things that maybe she would like to try in the bedroom, and kind of make it more like a team effort. And then you can kind of let her know that, you know, what would be your fantasy? How would it this play out with you cross-dressing? Like, you'd like to go out in public with her, or is it more like you'd like to wear it in the bedroom?
I like to go out in public with her. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're in Wisconsin and I'm from Michigan. So I know, you know, it's not, but that's a great goal. And I would love that to happen for you. But I think we could start with just having a talk with her. I mean, do you know what her, like, what do you think would happen right now if you kind of brought this up? What do you think would happen?
I think she might become upset. Maybe because I haven't shared this with her.
Yeah, more about that, right? More about that than even that it exists, because I'm sure she wants you to be, even that you do it, but more like, God, how have you kept this from me? You know?
Right.
And so
right.
I think that there's more about, I don't even know that you have to lead with, it's been 20 years right away. I think you can just lead with, like, this is something that I've done and I've played with it, and it doesn't feel right not to share this part of you with me. And maybe you could explain to her what it makes you feel like when you dress up and how it turns you on. Like, put more words around it to her, like what it is about it that makes you feel good. Because, it's just not, I wouldn't have known that if someone told me that, to be honest, 15 years ago before I started studying sex. I might be like, what? I don't get it. Wait, does that mean you're gay? Does that mean that you're not attracted to me? It's, you know, it's just new information. So the more you can come armed with, you know, just your story around it and how it relates to intimacy with her. And maybe there's some things, again, that she's been wanting to try. And no, understand that it's not a one-time conversation. And so maybe this is like you're laying the groundwork. So.
Okay.
Yeah. How does that sound?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think just start talking to her about it in like a, you know, in an open way, and then see where it goes. Explain to her that you love her, and she might be upset, but you know, at first, but I think, again, keep talking about it. Don't abandon her in the process. And I think you guys have been together a long time that you can figure out a way to make it work. Okay, Joe?
Sure. Okay.
All right. Keep me posted though, Joe. Let me know how it goes.
All right.
I'll be here for you every night. You guys can call us with anything. 888-947-8277, 888-94-STARS. That's what I love, because that's a big one. Like, mm-hmm. I love that he, you know, 58, he wants to come out to her. And I think, like, I totally admire that. And I know, I also understand it's not easy. So what I love is that we are here 5 nights a week. Like, I'm here. So Joe doesn't have to do it all. He doesn't have to blow it all night. You know, the conversation, blow his what? Have the conversation all tonight. But it could be one conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can call me back. I can be like, Joe, okay, how'd it go? Let me know. And then what happened the next time? I know I can help you all in your journey. Because sometimes it's just about taking that one step, doing the next right thing that's going to lead you towards having that pleasure with your partner.
And then do you think once connection. He gets to that point of discussing the actual cross-dressing with her, do you think it would be wise of him maybe to be a little transparent about, like, his nervousness of bringing it up?
Absolutely. Yeah, tell him that's really hard. Like, he's not being cavalier about it. Yeah, this is something that's been on my mind. And I love you so much. And I really don't want you to, you know, I know this could come out. You're welcome to have your reaction. I know this could come off as kind of strange and maybe something you've never heard before. And I totally understand it. But I want you to know that I really get a thrill. It really turns me on to wear women's clothes. And it's, absolutely acknowledge all of that. I think anytime you're talking to your partner about sex for the first time, which I know many of you are, because I hear from you every night, and maybe you don't call in, but you're listening and you've never done it, and you are absolutely terrified, I think that it's totally okay to say, this is really, I'm nervous. My heart's beating really fast right now. But I really think it's important that we join the same team when it comes to our sex life. And I realize we haven't done that for 20 years or 30 years or 2 years. And it's so important to me that we have connection and that we have intimacy and that we have better sex. And I don't even know what that means, but I think it's worth a shot to figure it out together. And I'm nervous. Are you nervous? You know, I think the more real and authentic you are, you know, the more people can relate to you and the more intimacy you're going to have and the more connection. All right. Let's talk to who else here? Should we talk to Jimmy?
Yes, we have Jimmy, who is 38 in Indiana, and he needs tips on how to talk to women.
Hey, Jimmy. I like this question.
Hey, good evening. How's everybody doing?
Hi, I'm good. I used to get asked this question a lot, and I totally get it. It's not easy talking to women. So ask me specifically, how can I help you?
Well, I have a couple different examples. Okay. Like one, like on like dating apps and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like it seems like I'm either not like I'm like overly aggressive or anything like that, but like either I'm just really like seems like I'm playing the long game, like talking all the time, mm-hmm. and then it just goes too long, or I'm like, hey, you know, maybe we should go out this weekend, and they're like, yeah, not yet. And then, so I mean, it's like I can't really find the
medium ground, middle ground.
Time.
Well, I think you got
it. Like, then, like another one.
Yeah.
I end up meeting a lot of people just different places. I mm-hmm. like I don't know if like you know, hey, should I ask for a phone number? Or is that even what people do anymore? Like, you know, like or
yeah,
offer,
if you do, you could
Twitter
say, hey,
handle, your Instagram or what?
Well, a lot of people do Instagram. A lot of people, you could also say, let me give you my number. I'm interested in going out with you. If you want to call me, call me. Like that's what I've had guys do. So yeah, that's something you could do. You could let them know you're interested. And you can also let them know that you're not much of a texter. Here's the thing. We talk about this in the office. I don't want to friggin' text on those apps. I don't even want to text anybody. So I like to pick up the phone. Or if you are texting on the apps, you could make it like you want to make sure that you're, you know, noticing something on their profile and you're sending a first message that reflects that you actually read it. And not just to say, hey, happy we met here. Like something a little bit clever. And then get back to them. But don't let that go on too long. Like, I think that's the thing. The long game, there's no long game in online dating and in app dating. I think that you just got to, like, right away, if there's a connection back and forth, say, hey, let's talk. I'd love to make it, you know, and this might not be popular, everybody, but I like to pick up the phone and talk or FaceTime even better. And just see, like, is this someone I'd be interested in? Because you're all trying to meet someone. So I think it's just more like, you know, you could do the playful banter back and forth a few times, but if it's going on for days, like, no, that's a waste of time. And then you're never going to see this person. Maybe you'll never see this person. And then you had to like think of something clever. And I think that you can cut to the chase and let them know that you want to talk or not talk. That's the thing with dating, I think, online. Yeah. I think the more direct you are, and the more you ask for a plan, like, what are you doing this weekend? Let's get a drink. Move it along. And then if they're not interested and they don't get back to you, then you know, and then you unfollow them or you unmatch them. And then in real life, people like to talk about themselves, so ask questions, you know? Be a good listener. Compliments. Does that help you, Jimmy?
Well, see, that feels like, the other day I was getting lunch, and then, like, you know, I was sitting there waiting. And then, like, this couple ladies came in. And so I'm just standing there. Then I just, like, happen to look down, and I say, oh, hey, nice shoes. And then, you know, she goes on, and she's like, oh, these shoes, I got these, blah, 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 you know. But we had, like, a little conversation. And then, like, she ended up sitting down, but then she had to come back up to the counter to pick something up. And I was still there. And then she had asked for, like, a Band-Aid or something like that because she had a small cut. And so then again, I had ended up making another conversation with her about her cut or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and,
okay.
You know,
yeah, then you could ask her out.
It, like, in a situation like that, I don't know.
You like, could just like, be like, I like you know, talking I, to you. I do you want to grab a coffee? Listen to what you say. Hey, this was fun talking to you. Do you want to grab a cup of coffee sometime? Can I give you my number? Do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Just do it. Practice. I mean, find your Jimmy voice.
I really did feel like that was a lost opportunity.
Yeah, you know what? It'll only happen once then. Now you know. And even if it's awkward, be like, hey, can I get your number? Just ask. People do that to me all the time. You seem really friendly. You seem like a nice guy. She started talking to you and said, you know what? This was fun. Let's get coffee. Can I get your number? I can give you mine. I've had guys do that. They're like, let me give you my number, which is kind of like a new thing to do. So they're like, I'll put it in your, my, you know, I, so I'm not giving you my number, and it puts it in my hands if I'm interested. So it's kind of a nice non-confrontational way to do it.
Okay.
All right. Try some of those things. Let me know how it goes. Jimmy, I'll be here for you. Thanks for calling. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. And let us know, you guys, and share it with your friends if you learned something new in this show that really helped you. I promise you it will also help others. So send it along to your friends, your family, whoever needs the advice, and let us know what you think of the show. You can, it also helps when you review it wherever you listen to it. Thank you for doing that. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Hey, was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.